Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jamie Lee of TripleCrownCottage.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjament Ali of ConjumentAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. And this week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Madam Nadia of GotFortune.co. That's, once again, www.gotfortune.co. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. What
Hi.
An exciting week it's been for us.
Yay.
We've been doing a lot this week. We've had a few announcements I'd like to make and just quickly get these over. We have put out on the internet the announcement for a job position, which I mentioned would be happening. And if you need to know about it, you can go to the Lucky Mojo Curio Company Facebook page. Should have that job opening posted there. It's also been posted to the HRC Grads Yahoo group. It's also been posted to the Hoodoo Correspondence Course Alumni Facebook page. If you're interested in a job at Lucky Mojo, now is the time. And it's an entry-level job, but we are looking for people with extra special talents and skills, and we will fit you in accordingly. And people sometimes say, why do you always have so many job openings at Lucky Mojo? Well, actually, truth is we have about 18 employees. And so there is some turnover. There is some turnover. And this time we are moving some folks up internally, and that makes room at the entry level. So if you're looking for a job, Lucky Mojo is hiring. And there's a application form, do not phone the shop. Okay. The application form says it all. Do what it says. Okay. All right. That's my announcement for what's been going on around here. Want to thank everybody who's been pitching in. We've been catching up on orders. Sometimes it happens. We have a lot of orders and we get behind. And, you know, everybody wants to have a lot of orders because, but, you know, that's what pays the bills. But if you have too many orders, you know, and not enough employees, well, that's when you get behind. So we were behind for a couple of weeks, and we are almost caught up. So thanks to Lisa, Leslie, Apollo Dark, Heidi, Robin, Donna, and Miss Phoenix and Katrina and even Brother Lou. Everybody came in and pitched in. Even cousin-in-law Ernie. Everybody has helped catch us up. Leslie Ann has helped. Everybody's been working
Nikki,
on it very hard.
That's true.
Nikki, that's right. And I know I'm missing someone else. Alicia.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah.
See, yeah. And who else? I don't know. But anyway, everybody has been working very, very hard to get us caught up on orders. We're a few days out. But that's why we're hiring somebody, okay?
Yeah.
So that's it for me. I've been working in the shop several hours a day, pulling orders just like a rank newbie, just to get us caught up. Okay. So how are you doing today, Conjurman Ali? What's new in your world?
oh, you know, I've been quite busy. You know, holiday season is always busy. But I have some, you know, got some wonderful news just this morning, which is quite exciting. I've been working on a reconciliation case for probably about 6 weeks now. And it was a gentleman who had left his wife and kids at home. And this was going to be, you know, she had just had the child only a few months earlier, and this was going to be basically the first holiday she spent alone with the child. And so we've been doing reconciliation work, and it was about 6 weeks now, I think, a little bit over 6 weeks. And today I got the email that they have, that he's returned home. While not fully reconciled, and there still certainly is a lot of issues that we need to work through and kind of rebuilding the family, I'm happy to get the news that he'll be home for Thanksgiving and the family's kind of united at the very least. So it was excellent news.
And
it put me in a bit of a good mood today, so I'm a bit cheery.
That's, you know, that is so nice when you realize you can really have an effect on folks and things come to pass the way that you hope they will. I've had a couple of good recent prediction successes, not all happy, I might add. I made a couple of predictions which were pretty dismal, and I thought, I hope they take these predictions in the spirit they were meant, which was the spirit of truth, and come to find out those came true. And we all, you know, we want to be right, but sometimes being right does mean that we're the advance bearers of some bad news, and so I've had a couple of those this week. Yeah, but
it's,
you know,
the burden
it's
of the
not
reader.
About me. It's not about me or about being the reader. It's about just seeing clearly. And I think that in the end, most clients would rather have a reader who tells the truth rather than sugarcoats it, you know.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. But it definitely is difficult sometimes, bad news. And not everyone wants to hear it. Not everyone wants to hear it. And I always, you know, some clients will be like, no, I refuse to listen to this. But I always get that email a few months down the line going, hey, you were right. So it's a difficult position to be in as a reader, to give the bad news. You want to be right, but on the same note, you're like, oh, I wish this wasn't the news I have to get.
That's right. Well, it's like being a doctor. Sometimes you have to give a diagnosis no one wants to hear. Now, there's a difference, of course, between being a reader and a root worker. And sometimes give the bad news as a reader, and then as a root worker, you say, I think I can help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes as a root worker, you go, nope, the reading was too bad. I can't help. So it's a mixed bag. It's really an interesting thing. Now, your case, the Thanksgiving case, kind of brings up our panel discussion for the day. So I want to bring in our guest, who's Madam Nadia. And Madam Nadia has already stated that the panel discussion is going to be about peaceful homework. But let's check in. How are you doing? And welcome to the show, Madam Nadia.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm doing wonderful, and it's great to be back on the show. The holidays are coming, so I thought it would be a proper sort of conversation to have about how we're making our homes happy and festive, but also calm and peaceful, and maybe opening a new page in our relationships. So
Yeah, I get that. Well, you know, that is one of the things that I learned long ago, way, way back in the day. Thanksgiving time, you get almost like this two, like a Y fork in the road, not a crossroad, but a Y fork in the road. People have been working on breakups and reconciliations, and then suddenly, right before Thanksgiving, they either go toward breakup or they go toward reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of make up their mind. And we used to always laugh and say, why do they order so much breakup stuff around Thanksgiving? But sometimes they realized it's just not going to come to pass, and they want to be free during the holiday season to get someone new. Likewise, there's a whole other group who the holiday season is coming. This is their only chance to get their lover back, and maybe they have children, and then they know the lover's going to show up for the sake of the children. Maybe now we can get back together again. Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, Christmas, Epiphany, New Year's, whatever it is you celebrate, Kwanzaa, whatever, those holidays that your family celebrates, that's the time to get that person that has kind of split to come back, because at least they're going to see the children, they'll get some good food, and maybe they'll come back. So that's kind of where we're talking about today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know, you start us off, Nadia. What kind of peaceful homework do you like to do when there is the stress of you know, the big holiday season, and you know, Aunt Mary and Uncle Bud haven't talked for 27 years, ever since that little Staffordshire pottery piece, you know, was given to the one and not the other.
Well, I'm a firm believer that peaceful homework should be continued all the time, and maybe enhanced during the holidays. I think there is always room to improve communication, to bring a little bit more sweetness between people. But yes, holidays create a lot of stress for us, and we try to figure out what to do and how to do it. Deer's tongue is something that I really like to use in anything that's connected to communication. So whether you do it, you sprinkle it in your incense and you use it all across the house or the room where you're going to have your guests, you can put it a little bit on the candles, and a lot of times I put it straight into food and mix it in with other ingredients to create this communication going. And I'm a big proponent of sweetener jars. And for me, a sweetener jar can be a special container that you are making, or it can be your sugar bowl where you, you know, either actually write the names of everybody that need to be sweeter to each other, put it in, mix it, and then take some of the sugar out, put it on the table, or you tape it underneath your container and put the container on the table, have, you know, your folks use that, and of course using it in food. Roses as well works very well for me all the time. Everybody likes roses, and this energy, the spirit of the rose, somehow lets people to open up their hearts and maybe forget for a second what happened before. And chocolate. Gave them chocolate. So these are my sort of go-to things for sweetening any kind of communication situations, whether it's between friends or family members and things like that.
Well, I'm gonna poke in here something. I mentioned jokingly, you know, Aunt Mary and Uncle Henry haven't talked for 28 years because one of them got the Staffordshire pottery from Grandma's mantelpiece. I'm going to give you guys a hint. And believe me, this thing works. Don't tell my secret now. You can go on eBay and you can find anything. That little Staffordshire pottery from 1853, you can find it. If you really, you can find it. You'll find an exact copy of the exact same thing. Anything that was mass-produced, you can find it. If it was a photo and there was only one copy, pay for a professional scan, get it printed on photo paper, and pay for it to be framed. Okay? Once you've done this, dress it. Dress it with healing and peaceful home, and give it to Uncle Henry. You know, it's always bothered me that I got the little Staffordshire spaniel and you didn't, but, you know, it's been on my mind, and I know this isn't grandmother's because I got the one from grandmother, but this one's just the same, and I want you to have it because I want you to love me, too, and I want to love you. Let's make up. But you've dressed, okay? Remember, with eBay, all the past can be come back again. All the past can come back again, right? So think about that, folks. All right, that's my peaceful home thing. For those families that have fought and fought and fought about those little bell in the form of a little Chinaware bell in the form of little Bo Peep, the shepherdess. I mean, seriously, I've had clients. This has been, you know, the tragedy of the family, right? Somebody broke the little shepherdess bell, right? And they were never spoken to again. Well, you can go on eBay and find the little shepherdess bell, okay? And then dress it. Healing and peaceful home. All right. What about you, Ollie? What do you do for a peaceful home?
You know, there's a couple different things that I do to ensure a peaceful home. One is something that I do kind of outside the home, and one is that I do inside the home. When I'm inviting, you know, holidays are all about inviting people and having people come over. And so when I'm giving invitations out to family members, I tend to do an actual physical letter. Or a holiday card. It's a great time to buy a seasonal card of whatever type and send it out. And I dress that. I dress it with peaceful home. I dress it with, you know, blessing and powders. And so I send it out so that even before they arrive, they're in the right state of mind. they've already got their invitation, that they've already got their little card, and already it's working on their spirit. In the home itself, peace water. Peace water is absolutely wonderful. It smells great. It ensures that everyone who enters has peaceful intentions. It has a great mellowing ability, so it brings the spirit of an area down, so it's nice and mellow. Everyone remains calm. Because one of the reasons, you know, you talk about the why for in relationships during the seasons and during the holidays is because the holidays are a very stressful time. We don't think of it that way always, but it is very much stressful. People are worried about what presents they're going to buy. People are worried about what's going on for dinner, or if they have enough, you know, even something as simple as if they have enough room to have everyone. So it can always be quite stressful. What I do for inside the house is I sprinkle around the peace water. If you don't have peace water, the other thing I do is I boil in hot water some cinnamon and sugar. Often we think of this as something that's meant for business, drawing in money, but cinnamon and sugar is also really good for family things, sweetening and warming the family together. Cinnamon is a nice smell for the holidays anyways. And then I make a little aspergillum out of basil. I just take a bundle of it, tie it together, and I dab it into the water. My inner, you know, Catholic priest kind of coming out in this, and I sprinkle the water around the house as I pray Psalm 23. And it works wonders to keep a family peaceful. And then, of course, making sure that everything you feed them, you've prayed over. Everything has, if it's got sugar, you've prayed over that sugar. Or it comes from a sugar bowl where you've kept the entire family in, you know, for a week before you use it to cook. And these are the little things that I do. Small steps, but they work wonders to make sure everyone remains sweet to one another and that the house remains nice and calm.
Now, this is something that just came up in the chat room. I'm going to comment on this. Black Cat said, because I had mentioned the families that were, a thing got broken, and Thanksgiving was never the same, and also, I think that one had been Christmas, actually, and a thing where grandmother's little something got left to somebody and the other people didn't have it, and so there was a, and I mentioned ways to heal this. And Black Cat said, well, that's stupid. And I said, yeah, but calling people stupid doesn't heal the rift. And Black Cat said, well, if they're that petty, then she doesn't want to be around them. Well, that's interesting, because some families are like that. But I would say to you, Black Cat, you may need some healing yourself around this, because your judgmentalism is going to mean that you will not be in a peaceful family situation. Remember, there's more than one way to skin a cat. One way is to make people love you, and one way is to make people shut up and take it, right? But shutting up and taking it isn't the way to make people love you. And to say, that's stupid, they were so petty, all you've done is lost a family member, and that family member may have been important to you emotionally. Hey, that family member may be emotionally and economically important, and that family member also may be medically important to you. You know, what if you need that little blood transfusion? You got the rare blood, and now you're not talking to Uncle Jim. There's many reasons that we have families and that we stay in touch with our families. Some of them are pragmatic. Many of them are spiritual. And by raising anger and ire and condemnation and arrogance in yourself, you lose some of your own gentility and some of your own pleasant nature. So better to forgive and heal than to hold people to a moral standard that may be different than your own. Just saying, there's a reason this we need to talk about peacefulness.
That isn't to say that there aren't going to be certain family members that may be completely difficult to work with, or there are certain family members that may need to be cut out at some point. Mm-hmm. But I agree with the spirit of what you say, because, and this is, it comes to being a professional root worker, I often get cases like, I want to get rid of this family member, I want to get rid of this, and my first response is of this reconciliation first, healing first. There's other ways of doing it, and giving people chances more than once, especially family members, is a particularly good way of going about it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to keep kind of rolling over if you have difficult family members, but you keep giving them a chance because blood ties are very powerful spiritual bonds. But then, as you know, Black Cat said, she says, mine were impossible. There are some cases where there's certain family members, there's just no helping. You do the best that you can, and that's the key, is you give the most that you can, you heal yourself, because there's a healing act in giving, and then if at that last moment there is no more, that's when you kind of walk away, but always with a peaceful heart. Always with peaceful.
Yeah. You know, and I agree. I came from a family where I was not treated with particular respect. In fact, it was pretty bad. I mean, some of y'all know my story. But And the point, though, is that you can be the bigger one. And when it comes to a peaceful home, that's not to say I'm going to go back and be a victim again. It's to say, let's see what can be healed. Sometimes the best thing is to walk away and make, Nagashiba calls an extended family, or people call it, he calls it a transgenetic family. Those are people that you will know all your life. I call them adopted family, chosen family, kindred. Those are important people, too. And don't lose them either over a petty fight. But it never hurts. It never hurts to extend the olive branch to family. And the reasons for this really have to do with the history of humanity. Those people who have extended families tend to do better socially, economically, and health-wise than those who don't. And you owe it to yourself to kind of give yourself and your children all the best chances. My opinion, that's a pragmatic Taurus speaking. But yeah, I have people in my family I haven't spoken to in many years, and I won't be speaking to them again. But that's different because I won't be seeing them either. And so we're at peace. We're just very far apart. And that is a kind of peace, too. But there wasn't a big fight that caused the cutoff. It's just, it withered away. And that's okay, too. We're talking about if you are in the room with somebody and they've all been invited over and, you know, now someone breaks out the eggnog and the brandy and you know that Bozo gets really abusive when he's drunk and he's going to hog the brandy and pour extra in vodka and God knows what whiskey into his eggnog, and you know it's going to be a tough time. You have to think about how you're going to dose him and how you're going to dose the room. See? And peaceful home is good. And the other one that Ollie said, peace water, spray that around the room before anyone shows up for the party, right?
Oh, yeah.
Really,
oh, yeah.
Really good.
Really, really well. I've actually found that with peace water, people who are normally troublesome will be completely calm. And those people that come with the intent, like people who are mischievous in intent, will actually not even show up. Peace water has a really amazing effect of making sure only the people that are peaceful kind of enter the home. And I think that's something that's often overlooked in its use. You know, yes, it mellows things down, but it also makes sure that everyone who enters comes in with the right intent. And it works really, really well, and I love using it. But making sure, you know, to get back to some of the suggestions, you feed these people. The holidays is all about eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Feed people.
Mm-hmm.
Feed
yeah.
people. Another thing that I do is decorations, right? Putting in some basil leaves in your decorations that are up and about. Live plants that are made, rosemary that's up. These are all plants that be living spiritual helpers and bring peace to a home.
Right. It's really, you can really feel with plants how they filter things. So even when those intentions come up, you can feel your magical plants working to filter this kind of intentions. And I just wanted to mention about what we were talking before. Even if we absolutely cannot make peace and will not make peace because our family does not deserve it, or, you know, we don't pick our family, it's important to do a peaceful home on ourselves so we don't carry that burden for the rest of our life and a piece of us is always there, angry, and it comes out in times when we don't even anticipate it. If you decided that you are done with that person, you close the door, do peaceful home type of work and healing work on yourself, so you close the door really, and with, you know, a calm heart, you can move on and create the family in the world that you desire.
Good advice, and also on your children, because you don't want to carry that kind of stuff to the next generation.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna throw out another one, and I've talked about this probably once a year for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. This is something I came up with because I had a family that, like I said, there were some problems, and I needed some emotional and spiritual protection. I could not avoid the people who had been damaging to me when I would go to the group, because the group was all nice people, but there was a few people that were married to people or whatever, and I had to see them. And I would always say, well, I'll bring the salad. And I would make my salad dressing with Four Thieves vinegar. And I'll bring the salad kind of became so known for me. Nobody knew why. But they would always say, oh, yeah, well, you know, Cat will bring the salad. And I would use Four Thieves vinegar, which is for protection, and I would make my salad dressing with a little bit of that and say, let all who eat here, let none of their sharp tongues harm me, and let me and my child be treated, protected here in this environment. And that you can do that too. Also, of course, if you're going to bring food, my gosh, make those little sugar packet things, name a sugar, write someone's name with a marker or a pen on each sugar packet. Just all those sugar packets have their names on them. Pray over them in a bowl of sugar for so many days. Take them out, and each sugar packet, as you open it and pour it into your recipe bowl, whatever it's going to be, you say, now Uncle Billy's going to be sweet to me. Now, Cousin Deirdre is going to be sweet to me. Now Earlene is going to be sweet to me. You just pour in those packets that have been named for those people. That's a good
and
way
if
to work.
If you're making a candle arrangement in the center of your table, make some sugar, nutmeg, cinnamon, allspice, pray over it, and just gently, dust your candles with it. Not a lot, because sugar will light on fire. And pray over that and have that, as people sit together, that will continue burning and that intention will continue emanating from the center of the room.
Yeah,
right, right. And Shiva says load them. A lot of times when we have a fancy meal, we have candlesticks, and those candlesticks are usually hollow underneath, and I've taught everybody before, open up that, if they got a felt on the bottom, open it up and pack it underneath with whatever you need, pictures, words, prayers, whatever it may be, Psalm 131, whatever it is you need out there, put it underneath and put the felt back on. If it doesn't have felt, go buy some felt at the craft store and cut the felt to it, and it'll look like it always had felt. You can use duct tape if you have nothing else to put those packets up underneath the loaded candlesticks, but if you put felt on the bottom, they'll never know that they're loaded.
And
thing with your sugar is something that I recommend, because, for example, my family is heavy tea drinkers, and so we always have a little bit of sugar out in case anyone wants to put sugar in their tea. Same thing with coffee or whatnot. If you have a bowl of sugar out, make sure that you have your petition underneath, or you can put it in there. And this is a very famous Virginian conjure, and as you actually take a family photo or the names of all your family, you wrap it around vanilla bean, and you put that at the bottom of the sugar. And then everyone uses the sugar. They just spoon out a little bit of sugar in their tea. They spoon out a little bit of sugar in whatever they want. Or you use that if you're making desserts or you're making foods, you use that sugar. And you just keep the family wrapped around that vanilla down there. Vanilla, we often think about love, and we think about it sometimes in regards to money. But it also is very lucky in terms of family. And there are many, many people in Virginia that I know of that they have these sugar bowls or sugar boxes with that vanilla bean down at the bottom with their family wrapped around.
And another little thing that I wanted to say is that oftentimes when families come together, even with the best intentions, the family leaves and then you and your partner start quarreling. Well, why did you say that to my aunt? And why did she tell me blah, blah, blah? And that creates a whole, little argument. So to prevent that, take the same candlestick with, the hollow inside, and take your wedding bands, or if you have any sort of commitment rings, and put it underneath, put a little candle, pink candle that you dressed with Peaceful Home, with Chuparosa, pray over it, and burn it. Your partner does not have to know about it, but you will pray, and you will get that protection and that bond between you. So even those little quarrels will not interfere with the holiday spirit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, anytime family gets together, it's always going to be tension in the relationship. So in addition to doing Peaceful Home stuff, don't be afraid to do some strengthening of love work between you and your partner, because you're a unit, right? You created your own family unit, and you want to keep that family unit intact as it's kind of being put under the stress of dealing with hosting or presents or whatever it is that it has to deal with. So I 100% agree with that, Madam Nandi. Doing a little bit of work between you and your partner is also a great, great idea.
Preventative,
yeah.
Just like the invitations that you send out generally. Yeah.
Yep. I'm all about preventative concert.
Yeah. And one final thing I'm going to say for Peaceful Home, because we're kind of running out of time here, is it was mentioned, the doormat was mentioned, and that's always a good place to sprinkle stuff under the doormat or spritz the doormat with peace water. But you can also sprinkle under the doormat with things for people to walk over. Remember, foot track magic.
Yeah.
So a combination of loving herbs and, you know, a little graveyard dirt of the spirit of an admired ancestor of this family would be good. Mm-hmm. Say, Grandpa built the house, and we, you know, Grandpa built the house, and Grandpa and Grandma are long gone, but now Aunt Sally has the house, and we're all going to go over to her house. Get Grandpa and Grandma's graveyard dirt, put that underneath the mat, and also you can put in a little bit of other things with it, such as peaceful home powders, healing powders, and things like that. And that means that everybody walks over the threshold literally has to be blessed by Grandma and Grandpa who built the house. Okay?
Absolutely. And I mentioned in the chat, one of the things that you can do is actually invite your ancestors to the family feast. Make their favorite meals if you knew what meals that they really enjoyed or what dishes they really enjoyed. Light a simple white candle in the middle of the you know, no one's going to suspect candles on a dining table, you know. It's just you're just setting the mood. But light those candles with intent. I light this candle for Grandpa so-and-so. I light this candle for a great aunt so-and-so. And invite them to the meal, and then remember that. While you're having the meal with the family, remember that. You remember that one time Grandpa did this one thing? This is a very powerful way of keeping a family together and also bringing in the benevolence of your ancestors who will ensure that the family bonds remain strong. So it's something that I've done in the past, and I highly recommend it. It works really well. It's a very subtle technique, but the idea of just remembering your ancestors and bringing their recognition and attention into any family or holiday meal is a very powerful way of keeping the family peaceful and together.
Mm-hmm. And to those who in the chat room are talking about evil families and putting up brick dust to keep them away, I'm just going to say you're missing the topic. And this is interesting because we don't usually get this kind of blowback in the chat room for people opposing. Yeah, it doesn't usually happen, and I find this very interesting and sad that there's so much opposition to the subject of a peaceful home. One person condemned in the chat room the entirety of a religion because of whatever happened in their family. And this is... Carolina Dean says, yes, this is a downer. And it's true, we've opened up something here that needs to be exposed, but it's a wound we've opened. And this panel discussion has us in opposition to people in the chat, and that's very unusual. So all of you who are opposed to peace in the home, I'd like to say one more thing to you before we go to our clients. Look in the mirror and say, why do I oppose peace in the home? What do I want instead? Do I want to kill them all? Then leave them all. But please consider that the way of peace is a good way, and at least carry peace to your children, if you can't, to your parents. Please, please carry peace.
If this brings up some really hard, you know, things for you and it opens up wounds, it's understandable. Families are naturally something that we invest in, but the only thing I can say is peace. You make your own family. If you have difficulties with your family to the point where you're not even willing to consider peaceful home, then consider that maybe you need to create a new family, and maybe you need to take a look into your mirror and say, what am I doing that's contributing to my own pain? Even if it's a past thing, time to let it go, and it's time to be peaceful. Because the topic is meant to bring happiness. This is about celebration. You know, and remember that. And the only thing, you know, I can end with is, I had a preacher once put his hand right in my face and he said, peace. That's all I can say.
And if you are, you know, if you're feeling that this is such a difficult topic for you, so there's obviously room for healing, and the holidays can be such a empowering time for that, because people are talking about it. There is places of worship that open up, things, you know, that the streets are more beautiful. And so if this is the feeling, if you really get upset by a topic like that, it means that you definitely need to do some healing, your own healing. You know, forget about the ones that you don't want in your home anymore, but your own healing, and do something about it, because this is a sign for you that there is still work to be done, and we all have work to do. But this is, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to say one more thing. I think, again, most of my friends know this. I was sexually abused by my stepfather for 8 years. And I left the home. I ran away early. I didn't go to college. I did a lot of things wrong because of that. And yet, I still sued for peace in my family as best I could. I'm not saying that everyone's had an ideal life. I know people who were beaten. I know people whose parents shot one another. Mm-hmm. There are times when these things are impossible. And yet, and I'm not saying swallow your victimhood. What I'm saying is don't live inside your victimhood. Think about your children. Think about, would your children wonder why they never got to see Grandma? Maybe you should let them see Grandma.
Exactly.
You know? And maybe Grandma has something to convey. Be the best adult that you can be, given the outrageous upbringing you had. My uncle was a heroin addict. You know, I mean, I come from a rather confused family, and yet I still ask for peace in the home. Yes, of course I used Four Thieves vinegar in the salad dressing because I felt under attack. But as long as my stepfather was there. But I learned something which is called growth, personal development, and personal integration of my own family as part of me. These are the people who contributed to my being where I am. For good or for ill, they contributed. And if I'm going to be in their presence, and we're talking now about being in their presence, I'm going to be in their presence as a conscious, adept, well-informed, graceful, peaceful person. And I urge that on everyone who says that there are difficulties. Think about it. We may have to do more on this issue because we've obviously opened a huge wound here that many are suffering. And I feel bad just because I'm 66 years old and maybe I've gotten over it. No, I can still feel every bit of pain. But I do feel that I can speak to the issue of making a peaceful home as best I can, even badly raised as I was. So that's my advice to all, and I'm sorry that took a long time to say. But it's
and
important.
It was very well said, and it was needed to be said. So
listening to all of that, I am opening my spiritual services for whoever feels that they need some healing around home. For Thanksgiving, I'll set lights. It's a free donation. Don't need to give me anything. Just email me, gut_fortune@yahoo.com, and, you know, it can be give me your name or don't give me anything, and just give me something to put on the candle, and I'll put a little tea light, and I'll make a little altar. I feel called to do it, and I think it's going to be a sweet offering.
Very sweet.
That's beautiful. That's really, I'm going to say one more thing. I'm not asking you to forgive. I'm only asking you to be peaceful. Forgiveness may or may not come. There's people I've never forgiven, but I learned to maintain an unarmed, unangry position. And that's different than forgiveness.
It's also
some
a matter
people
of
I've forgiven, some I've never forgiven. Okay.
Taking a stance of peace is healing to the self. You know, it's not about forgiveness, but it's about, you know, making sure that you heal yourself as well.
Right. And Black Cat says, I think it's okay to hate, too. That would be a different topic, though, Black Cat. You are attempting to co-opt this topic to suit your own wounded needs. Please consider that. If the topic was love and you began to post over and over again, love is impossible, no one can love me, I've been disappointed in love, and kept on drawing attention to this, I would say the same thing. If the topic was money and we were going to give some money spells and you say, money spells, worthless, money never works for me, never, 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 I would point out the same thing. You who have trouble with peace in the home, think about your own self right now, and why are you trying to tell us and to convince us that we are wrong for seeking peace in the home, or that our attempts will fail, or that we don't understand your victimhood or your pain? I don't need to tell you all the pain I have felt. I don't need to, but I will if you want me to, but I'm not going to right now. But any time you want to contact me, I'll tell you everything that happened to me. And it was really lousy. And I have hated people, and I do hate people, really hate them. But I'm talking, the topic today is peace in the home. So consider that. Consider that. You
perhaps it's best that we end it with just peace, because it is obviously a topic that we need to
I'm very interested in this.
Yeah.
We've never, when we've talked about money, nobody
against.
has when we've talked about money, nobody has ever said, money sucks, you're such fools for seeking money, you'll never, you know, nothing. Peace in the home.
There's another holiday coming up, you know, more holidays coming up in December, so there may be Madam Nadia may need to come back and we need to do a part two about this and explore, I think, a little bit more of the intimate spirit and what's going on behind the kind of wounds, and maybe it should be a topic about healing those wounds rather than just peace. So that may be a part two. And
yes, I agree. Yes. I think we need part two. In fact, at this point, we could do the whole show and not take any readings. We definitely need part two about healing, healing the family and peace in the home, and healing yourself. Healing yourself.
Absolutely.
Healing yourself is the key here. I think that when we have strong resistance to something, it definitely tells us that there is work to be done, and that's a good thing because if we can do the work, we can progress and become just better human beings.
Exactly.
And usually that brings more happiness into our lives and more success.
So, Madam Nadia, I am going to hold you to it that you will come back in a few weeks and we'll do a part two about this, talking more about family healing and self-healing to bring about the peace for the holidays.
I think that's wonderful. I think you guys get to, absolutely. I think we need to have that.
And
I'm going to say one other thing, too.
Yeah.
People think of conjure doctors, root workers, as magic practitioners. We're going to make these things happen. They don't always notice that many of us are also working for spiritual development.
Oh, very
and
much so.
There's this sort of an idea. Many new people to this field think, I'm just going to get that person slammed and dead. Where your root worker might say to you, honey, you need to think about yourself for a minute here.
Well, there's a reason why we're called root doctors, conjure doctors in some places. The term doctors are very deliberate. It just doesn't mean expert. It is a healer. It is a healer.
That is so true. And there is a meme going around the internet. Hoodoo isn't a religion. It's just magic. No, hoodoo isn't a religion per se. In other words, it has no clergy and no laity and no order of liturgical services. But hoodoo, most of the time, comes from a religious background. And that religious background, it is a spiritual practice, and the practitioners are, generally speaking, religious. And if you consider that is the case, it shouldn't surprise you that a root doctor might say to you, I want you to work on your own spiritual healing here. But there are so many websites where you go to them and this guy's got, I'm not going to name names, but, this guy's got all this, everything's on a black background and there's these flames and skulls and I'm so arcane and occult and I kill and I use as my symbols animals that have big teeth or sharp claws, right? You've all seen it, right? That's hoodoo, voodoo. Those people are not good spiritual practitioners because all they know how to do is to grow out of their own anger into being guns for hire for other angry people. The old ladies who taught me root work, most of them assumed that I would only ever want to do something damaging if someone had really done something damaging to me. They would never advertise themselves with, that kind of a viciousness. And I have to say that, and as I get older, I'm becoming increasingly an anomaly here because I keep on telling people, be kindly. Don't speak ill of people of a certain skin color. Don't speak ill of people of a certain religion. Don't speak ill of people of a certain national origin. And everyone looks at me like I'm crazy because they get off on it. They get off on being the meanest and the sharpest that they can be. And it's kind of terrifying out there to realize that they do this in the name of being root workers. They do it in the name of being conjure doctors, as if they were having some kind of weird, grand theft auto of spirituality, if you know what I mean. Their attitude is one of roughness and harshness and get over on other people.
Bullying.
And those
it's called bullying.
Bullying.
You know, you can see it in high school too. You know, people that scare other people. That situation does not change. And another part of it is that for me, when a client comes to me and says that they want to do something to somebody, and especially if it's a family member, I always ask them, well, if that's going to happen, who do you think is going to be responsible for that? Spiritually.
Right.
You know, and
right.
obviously, this is an ethical issue, a spiritual issue. You know, our worldview, it differs from person to person. But what I always tell them when they say, well, you're going to do it, I say, well, I'm going to do it, but you commissioned it. So, you know, I might get some of what I did, you know, on me, but this is you. I do it in your name. Just like
right.
I would do a love case, I would not, you know, call that person to me. I would call that person to my client. So the same thing goes when we do, I will call it dirty work. We all need to do dirty
mm-hmm.
work sometime. No shame in it. But just to, you know, for the client to understand that this is, it's not like you paid somebody and it went off your bill with, you know, the guys upstairs or downstairs.
Right, right. That's right.
Well, I think
a
lot of people forget that the most powerful root workers, and this is where you can see where the power of root work is connected so deeply with spirituality, the most powerful root workers are those with a true connection to spirit. These are people that they have an intimate connection with the divine, and that tells you that root work, while not a religion, is very much not only a spiritual practice, but a spirituality in of itself. It is about connecting the divine. It is about reaching a place of harmony. It is about having that spiritual component. So if all you're thinking about is casting curses and, you know, doing spells and all this, you're missing the point. You're missing the point.
Absolutely. I had a young lady come in, interviewed me. She was writing an essay for a school project, and she comes in and, you know, just an average young lady. And she starts in with her pre-written questions, and they were things like, do you use the devil in doing black magic? And I'm like, what are you talking about, gal? It was a little scary. Her final question to me was, don't you recognize Jesus Christ as the only road to salvation and not the occult? Complete with bad grammar, by the way. That was, and not the occult, comma, and not the occult. I'm like, huh.
I would be a little worried about it. She's doing a school project. I would be a little
I don't know what education the girl is getting,
Well, she then told me.
Those are some leading questions.
Yeah, right. Oh, no, yeah, talk about leading questions. But it was real interesting because when I began to talk with her about this, she had no idea. I would say things to her like, da-da-da-da-da, light a candle. And she goes, what do you mean candle? I'm like, what is she asking about? And I realized that so many people have no idea what we do. And this gal had come a long way with a companion. She had recording devices. She had not a clue what we do or why. And she wasn't particularly opposed to what we do. She just, her questions were just very strange. And so it's behooves us all to be clear. And what you just said, Ollie, and the reason I bring this up is what you just said was so clear. Hoodoo is spiritual practice. It's not a religion, but it is spiritual practice. I sometimes say it's grounded in religion or grounded in spiritual practice, but really it is a spiritual practice. And as such, it does partake of some of the aims and goals of any spiritual practice, which include peace and harmony with the natural world and with one's own place in the world. And those are important things, very important things. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in any case, wow, we've now talked for
quite a while.
Who knows? I don't know if we're going to have time for any clients at all today, but let's give it a try and see what we get. I don't think we're going to be able to do three of them. This has been very interesting, and I want to thank those in the chat room who have opened my eyes to the amount of wounding there is around the subject of a peaceful home. That's very interesting. I didn't realize, I thought, because I had made my own journey and made my own piece, that others would have considered that something that they were working on too, and probably would have done so. But as Shiva says here, family stress is a serious problem, and we need to probably give a little more attention to this, and we will be doing so.
We will.
We're going to have a follow-up. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Kat and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kunjamin Ali, and this week's special guest, Madam Nadia, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client this evening, and our first client is Marilyn. This is Marilyn Rouleau. Marilyn, are you there, caller? From Denver,
yeah.
Colorado. Hi.
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you are a loyal listener. Thank you so much for tuning in, that you're calling in from Denver, Colorado. And here we go with the brief synopsis of your case, okay? And
okay.
She writes, I'm officially a homeless woman as of Friday, and I don't have anywhere to go. I have two dogs that are the only things keeping me alive. My caseworker has been nothing but unhelpful in this entire ordeal. I've gone through state services, veteran services, 2-in-1, the works. I've been homeless but staying at Three Fence Place since July. I need a permanent affordable home and to land a job at Whole Foods. I interviewed with them on Thursday. Turning it back over to you. Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That sounds terrible. That you're in such a bad situation. I'm concerned about one thing. You said veteran services did not help. Usually they will. Are you a military veteran?
Yeah, I am.
I would reach out to them very strongly, because that is the kind of the last bulwark. They will really help. But let's do a little reading for you and see what's got you to this situation. How long have you been homeless?
Like since July, basically.
Since July, okay. And there's been no offer of affordable housing or any kind of thing like that. What state do you live in?
I applied for Section 8 like last month. I've been to the Department of Human Services so many times, and I even asked for like hotel vouchers, and they won't give them out to you unless you have kids. And I was like, okay, so just bouncing from house to house was like stressful enough, and then to finally get booted out of one place where I was living out of a friend's camper in the mountains, and just she did something really immature basically on her part, and so she just impulsively booted me out Friday.
Right. Well, let's not go over all the details. I asked one question.
Yeah.
What state are you in?
I'm in Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado. Okay. So Colorado is a pretty a liberal state, and there should be some services for veterans. Seriously, if you're a military veteran, they should take better care of you than that. The problem is they may not feel the impulse to take care of your animals. And where they will take care of your children, they might not take care of your animals. And that's always an issue. You might have to see about getting the animals fostered for a while until you get set up. But let's hope that we can turn this around real quick. So my reading shows the Eight of Pentacles. And the Eight of Pentacles is a person who applies for jobs over and over again, who adds to his skill set, a person who works and demonstrates their capacity for work. And this is a card that says, don't give up. Don't give up. This is a temporary situation. It has lasted a long time. But if something doesn't work, keep trying. It's a very encouraging card, but it says you mustn't give up. You mustn't give up at all. It reminds me of an old song by Clifford Hayes and the Dixieland Jug Blowers. If you can't make it easy, get a job and go to work. And this is a card that says you must continue to try. You will not fail. The second card is the Seven of Swords. This is a card of lies and problems. It may be that your caseworkers have not been completely forthcoming to you. You said they were unhelpful. It may be that there's something also going on here behind the scenes that you're not telling me, and I don't need to pry. But when I get this card in the second position on a three-card spread, I know there's trouble behind, and it could be a curse, and it could be sometimes it's a drug or alcohol problem. Sometimes it's bad companions. Sometimes it is that your caseworker is basically lying to you and that services are available. So there's something here that needs further investigation based on card number two, the Seven of Swords. There is something going on wrong that is not revealed. Third card is a card that tells me that you can get what you want. It is the Ace of Pentacles. And this shows a garden and with a hand holding a coin. The hand is the hand of God. I would assume from this card that you will be able to get a safe place to live. The garden is hedged about with roses. You will have a safe place for you, and you will have an offer of money. But in the meantime, there's something going on in the background that is not obvious, that's untruthful, okay? So keep working. All right. Let's see what Madam Nadia sees.
Okay. So, my dear, I'm very sorry to hear about your situation. And as Kat was speaking, I pulled some cards from my Desta deck. And the cards that I received is an owl, which is a card that says, wait a second, there is important information that's coming that hasn't been revealed yet. And it really connects to what Kat says. It hasn't been revealed yet, but when you get that information, it will change the game for you. Because something is not true, something is not correct. Maybe you even need to look into your own documents just to look and see maybe somebody didn't fill out something right. And just make sure that everything is correct, because there are some lies. There is something here that is not correct. And it can be really even a mistake in print or something of that nature. But the correct information is coming. And after that is a tree. And a tree in this deck upright means that you are strong and you, you're able to deal with the challenge. However, looking at both of these cards together, when you going and you talking to the agencies, to the people, there is something about the attitude, something about a view that you present. And I'm not saying that you're right or you're wrong. They're taking not in a good way, and they're blocking you from getting what you want. And that is represented here by a reversed key card, is not having that key to open the road, not having the key to open the door. So you need to think about what am I presenting to them that sort of screws the situation. It doesn't mean that you need to change yourself, but it means that something there is. I know very much how that feels. It happens to me a lot, where people misread me and things like that. But this needs to be changed a little bit. And the last card that I pulled is an advice card. It's a spirit card, and it's Isfahan of the diamond. And Isfahan says, change must be made, and oftentimes it's a change in attitude. So if you were going there and you were begging, and asking them and crying, give what you need, then you need to go there and be really strong and say, you know what, I know what's going on. I know that you're wrong, and I know what I deserve. You know, so demanding what you need or changing the approach, changing the way you're communicating with them is what's going to help you to move forward.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to turn this over to Ali for some root work advice, and we'll see what he has to say about this, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, you have had some excellent readings here that can really help you if you take their advice. There's a couple things that I would suggest, given that your circumstances are so difficult. One is the pro bono fund. AIR provides a pro bono fund through, you know, where we offer either supplies or free work, whether it's lighting candles, getting mojos out to you, whatever it is. Look into that. You can go to AIR, and there's a form that you can take a look at. You can contact Ms. Michael, who is the chairwoman of the pro bono fund. The other thing is the Crystal Silence League. The Crystal Silence League hasn't been brought up in a while, and it is actually excellent for someone like you. You go to the Crystal Silence League, and you can put up a free prayer and get everyone to put your name under their crystal ball and pray for you, bringing in that network of prayer to assist in bringing in the finances you need, the attention that you require from the right bureaucrats, as well as also helping you get the job that you applied for on Thursday. So that's something that I would absolutely recommend in a situation like this. Now, given that you are in a very difficult financial situation, you know, we're not going to recommend anything intense in regards to root work. But what I would say is if you can get your hands on some candles, they can be something as simple as white birthday candles, tea light candles to work great, as well as with some sugar. What I would recommend is writing down the name of the person that interviewed you. If you have their card, do that as well. Place that down on a surface. Place the candle in a candle holder, not directly onto the card or paper, and sprinkle around it sugar, or if you have honey, you can do a ring of it, and you can do it right on a plate. And this is a very old school way of doing a sweetening spell, but it is a great way of doing a sweetening spell. And you can do this to sweeten that hiring manager to you so that you can get the job that you desire. And you're going to pray from the bottom of your heart that this person is sweetened towards you, that they're inclined to favor you. You can also do this with your caseworker, putting their name down, putting a white candle over it, and sprinkling that sugar around it to call on the caseworker to start giving you the right attention that you need. If she does not or he does not, don't be afraid to go to a supervisor or talk to someone to perhaps change caseworkers. Always do it in a peaceful manner. You don't want to come off as confrontational. Madam Nadia, I think, spoke to something that you need to be careful about. You may be in the right, but be careful how you come off. People's perceptions, you know, do matter, especially in a case like yours. So you want to come off as not accusing the caseworker of anything, but, you know, I think she may be busy. Is there any way I can get another caseworker? If this caseworker doesn't step up, then you need to actually change it, and that's a practical suggestion. But in addition, with some sweetening work, getting some backup from the Crystal Silence League and the pro bono fund, you'll have what you need to at least get yourself on the right path, okay?
I want to throw in one more thing. Thank you, Ali. You may be this Whole Foods thing that you already interviewed for.
Yeah.
If you did not prepare yourself for that interview, maybe too late to try to salvage that one. So let's talk about just preparing yourself for the next interview.
Yeah.
You're going to want to have a little bit of steady work products or gravel root mixed with salt, put some in your shoe, do all the things that you can read about online about steady work. Ms. Michael, Pro Bono Fund, has a closet of Lucky Mojo supplies for people who need help. If she needs more supplies, she will contact Lucky Mojo and we'll send them to her. If you contact Ms. Michael, we all heard you here. We know what's going on. So she can send you, for instance, Steady Work bath crystals, or it might be some gravel root or whatever it's going to be, little packets of stuff for you to use, okay?
Okay.
Okay, good luck to you. But next time, but don't just be in the one. I mean, I hope you get the job at Whole Foods. Let's cross our fingers and knock on wood on that one. But but you didn't go into that one magically prepared. So let's hope that you go into the next one magically prepared, okay?
Definitely. Thank you.
Good luck.
All righty. Good luck. Yeah, good luck, baby.
All the best.
All right. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and we have about 26 minutes left in today's show. Y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from Las Vegas. And I'm just getting back to that screen. Here we go. This is Ray. Ray, are you there, caller, from Las Vegas?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Great. Thank you so much for coming to the show. Awesome. All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that that you have had just some private mini readings with Miss Elvira and also Lou Flores, okay? And
yes,
you have not yet gone to any other readers and root workers regarding your situation, and
yes,
your brief situation with the synopsis is in regards to reconciliation, okay? And
yes,
so it's just a, okay, great. Turning it back over to you. Thank you.
All right, hon.
Thanks.
Oh, that's too brief, probably. I also wanted to note here that the private readings were in 2010 and were on another subject, it says here, not about this
situation.
Entirely,
yes.
Okay.
No, that situation,
so
yes.
We need you too, and this is why we like people to write it down. Now we're going to trust you to be very brief. Reconciliation with whom or what? A canary, your mom, a boyfriend, your children, what?
It would be a boyfriend, no canaries. And the reconciliation, it's crazy because I had a mini reading, right, and it said that there were upcoming issues coming. So, of course, I ran to Lucky Mojo. I'm like, hey, let me order this reconciliation honey jar. So I got my reconciliation honey jar, but the train was already rolling. So we did break up. It was an explosive breakup, but I was already running my reconciliation jar for about a week. So I imagine it could have been worse, but I already had the reconciliation jar going for myself. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So after the explosive breakup, I did also a sugar bowl, and I ordered an extended reading from a root worker that I absolutely love and have worked with before, from Lucky Mojo. And
mm-hmm.
then in addition to all that, you know, me and him exchanged a couple of texts. They were civil, but then when we actually spoke on the phone, I got my head chopped off, and that led me to chop his head off. So I just don't understand it. I don't understand, you know.
Well, I cannot be responsible for you not being able to control your own temper. This is,
oh,
I'm going to
no,
go
not
back.
That at all,
well,
no.
I mean, you say you got your head chopped off and you chopped his head off. I took that to be a metaphor, right? All right.
Right.
You didn't.
Yes.
Okay. So let me say something here. And again, this is for all of our listeners over the years who listen to these shows over and over again. One of the saddest things is the person who does a reconciliation work and then doesn't have the deep breathing to carry it through. And on the first, second, or third turn around the track here, when something bad is said, they lose their composure. This is serious,
yeah,
because it sets the whole reconciliation back to square one. And
mm-hmm.
So it can be a difficult situation. All right, so thanks for letting us know what's going on. Let's have, I guess our first reading here is going to be Ollie.
Certainly. Well, while you've been talking about your situation, I've been looking into my carnelian ring and scrying with my spirit of divination. And there's a few things that come up here that I've noted down that are quite significant that you should be aware of. First and foremost, I see a train that's trying to be stopped, one person standing in front of it trying to push it back. This breakup was, to a certain extent, I wouldn't say it was not, you know, destined to happen, but it was on its way. This is the type of breakup that you really would have had a hard time avoiding. There was a lot of underlying issues that were kind of building up and building up and building up, and it led to the crescendo of the kind of fallout. So it was on its way for a while. Even if you may not have recognized it, there are some things that were going on here. You should be aware of what's going on right now. I do sense that, you know, while you guys have had the fight, he hasn't exactly been moping about and been alone. There is this indication here that he has gone out, and there is a chance that there are some temporary rivals. It doesn't look like he's diving into any type of relationship, perhaps, but he's certainly not wanting in regards to female attention at the moment, okay?
Okay.
But he is kind of finding an outlet, is the best way I can put it, as diplomatically as I can put it, is that he is definitely finding
right.
an outlet right now. And you need to be aware of that, because as long as he's finding an outlet, he's not going to find himself particularly needing to return home to you. I do sense that there, while underneath the anger, there is still a lot of emotional investment in you. He does actually have some emotional investment. However, that's become corrosive, and it's become very argumentative, and it's become very, you know, almost negative. You're going to have to work a lot through that in order to restore the relationship. Chances don't look particularly high here. There's still enough emotions. The fact that he's still angry means that there is feelings there. There's still enough feelings that you can attempt, but I would do this with a very serious deadline, because things have gotten to the point where now he's looking at other people, that his feelings towards you are buried beneath an avalanche of anger, that your chances aren't particularly good. And the reason I say this is because when one of the images that come up in the scrying stone that I'm looking at is a woman chasing after a man, but her knees are ragged because she's crawling and he keeps walking further and further away. He may come back from time to time and give you a bit of attention. There may even be a chance of a physical connection between the two of you. I do see a bedroom here indicating that he may come to you. He may call you drunk, or he may call you late at night, and there may be a physical thing, but in terms of emotions, there's so much going on here that you might be running a bit ragged after him. So definitely, definitely, you know, approach this with a deadline. And I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see if they can, you know, add any further light to this situation.
Okay. Well, I've used the tarot cards, and I'm just doing a little three-card cut, and it doesn't look too hopeful. The first card is the Ten of Wands, and the Ten of Wands is a person who's carrying a burden for a long way. This says to me that the breakup came after a considerable, this is a card of the past, and it says that the breakup came after considerable struggle already. You bought a reconciliation product before you'd broken up, which is unusual, because usually people would buy a stay with me product. So you already were having fights, and what I see here is that in the classic turn of phrase, you may have started too late. It's just it had already, you know, kind of gone beyond the salvageable level. The next card is called the Four of Cups, and this is a card of a raggedy man under a tree, and a little hand is offering him a cup of blessings, love, whatever it may be, a heart. And in front of him are three cups on the ground. And he's shaking his head, no, I don't want that cup. And we realize that the three cups on the ground probably represent previous offers. And he's shaking his head, no. Some people also take this card to mean that he has three other things on his mind that he could be looking at and not looking at that little offer. Well, we call it the card of the offer that can be refused. And it may be that you will run out of offers eventually, because he is able to. Well, don't keep on offering your love, say, you know, 10 times. Don't offer your love, you know, for a year. Offer your love, just what Ali said, put a limit on it. You'll know the right limit for yourself, whether it's your birthday, whether he's with you at New Year's, whether it's ask him three times, whether he'll reconsider, whatever it is. It'll be a number, it'll be a date, it'll be a state of mind. That's your limit. The last card is a sort of sad card. It's called the Five of Cups. And this shows a person looking down at three spilled cups with two cups behind them.
Okay.
And across the river is a ruined castle. There are some things in this relationship that may not be able to be repaired. Now, I'm not saying give up immediately, but I'm saying that there seems to be some things that have been spilled out, the cups that have been spilled out, cannot be immediately refilled. So do your best, but I'm not giving this a great deal of chance of success, and not blaming you, but saying that you may have started too late. It may have been too late when you started, and then losing your composure when provoked also did not help. But let's turn it over to Madam Nadia and see what she recommends for you.
Oh, wow. That's, there are some choices here to be made. I know you're very interested in reconciliation, and I'm assuming that you're continuing the work that you started to bring him back to you. What I tend to do a lot of times is, in addition to focusing on bringing him to you, is trying to get rid of the problems and the issues that prevent that reconciliation. And what I would like you to do is to get beeswax and rub into that beeswax. It's beeswax is really soft. You can really mold with it a lot of things. Some harsher herbs. I would put maybe devil's dung, you know. I would put vandal root. I would put pins and needles, just be careful. And every time I add something and I rub it in between my hands, I would be just praying from my heart that all the issues that are there, all the other people that interfere, the tempers, all of that, be gone. And when you feel that you're finally done with doing that, I would go to train tracks. And because train tracks were mentioned here in a reading by Conjurman Ali, and because even from the way you describe it, there is some sort of force in it, some energy in it, I would go there and I would pray to the spirit of the place to take that from you, and I would throw that on the train tracks, working train tracks, and walk away without looking back, praying that the trains that are going over will run over all of these obstacles. And then when you come back home, you want to do some nice reconciliation bath. You know, you can use balm of Gilead. It's really good for reconciliation. You can use rosebuds in it, lavender. You can use basil. I throw basil in everything. It works really well for me. I would also put a little bit of tobacco in it, and specifically to tobacco, I would speak, because the spirit of tobacco moves really in a different way, I feel. Speak, bring him back to me, bring him back to me. And then after I take the bath, I would pour some of the water that you keep after the bath from, you know, from the street towards your door, you know, if you live in a building, from the door of the building up to your apartment, and slowly, slowly, slowly to your bedroom as you chant, but you chant very calmly, because temper is an issue here, and I feel that for him is an issue in this relationship. So you're going to chant very, very calmly, but you're going to be very focused on it, on how he's coming back to you, and which with every step that you're making back to your space, he is coming closer and closer to you. But do that after you are getting rid of all these obstacles and all the things that are there in between of the two of you, as you're still burning your candles on your reconciliation jar.
Well, can I ask one more question now? Okay, Ms. Kat,
sure.
I know at the beginning of the show you spoke of reconciliations, and you said a lot of people around Thanksgiving, they either decide if they're going to do makeup, they're going to do breakup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know from the forums you're a no-nonsense person. If you don't feel that it's going to be, you'll tell a person cut and clear and walk away. Is this my time to cut and clear and walk away? Because I can take the brutal honest truth, guys.
Well, I would. Mm-hmm. I would cut and clear and walk away from what I see here, but that's just my reading. I think the other reading did sort of work in that same direction. As I said, you'll know the right time. It'll be not for me to tell you. It'll be a date. It'll
so
be a Ali number.
So Ali is in agreement, too. It's time to cut and clear and walk away.
Yeah. I think we all agree on that. I don't, I try to say it softly. I think you came to the work a little too late. That is not to say that reconciliation would have been impossible, but it was started too late. Also, you're dealing with a person who is a bit on the intractable side. But once Ali said that, he said that there was, he saw that there was the possibility of other people involved, then you're no longer even dealing with a clean plate. You know what I mean? It's already got stuff on it. So I would just, you deserve to have someone who loves you for yourself, and this may just not be happening. Okay, I hate to discourage people, and if they, some people say, I'm not ready for it, I'm going to try another 3 years. I'm not going to tell them
no. You should be in love with the truth. The truth will save you a lot of time and heartache. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
But
so
you've
got to
be sure.
If it were me, I would say to myself, I want to have some new fun for this holiday season. Just try it out.
Love it, you guys. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
All right. Good luck to you.
All the
good
best.
You. You know, and sometimes, just one more little comment here. Sometimes people do know. They come to us and they ask, is there hope? And sometimes, you know, you're feeling like, I don't want to let them down. But sometimes they're really asking for permission to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that this was an example, not exactly asking for permission to let go, but just asking for the honest truth, and what we all saw was let go.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Johannes says in the chat room, amazing, a reconciliation client willing to do cut and clear. And but, you know, Johannes, it is true. We have this, every once in a while, we have these great, clear clients who understand what's possible and really what's going to make them happiest. And everybody's limit.
And clients value their own love. You know, that's one of the things, is valuing your own love enough that you go, I'm not going to offer it to this person again.
Right. That's right. That's so true. All right. Well, we talked so much about Peaceful Home that we've ended up short one reading. Instead of doing three this week, we've done two. So we're going to go next to Miss Tammy, and then after that, we're going to have our free spell.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, we'd like for you to get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in each week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour on Blog Talk Radio. Now we're going to go ahead and turn this over to Madam Nadia joining us from gotfortune.co, C-O. And Madam Nadia, turning it over to you, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this spell is really designed for either for your home and your very close family, but it also can work for big family. Whatever you call family, whatever you want to work on, this is the intention that you set. So what you need for it is that you need a lodestone, a medium-sized lodestone, and you also want to go to Michael's or some type of store like that, like Arts and Crafts. And they sell little tiny wooden, almost birdhouses. It possibly can be a birdhouse, but they're very cute. It looks like a house, and the opening is a heart. And you get yourself one of those. You get home. What I love to do is that I put my intention through art. So I would collage or decoupage on top of it with images of, I like to use Chuparosa, for instance, for Peaceful Home. It represents a lot for me. If you can put religious symbols like crosses or Star of David, if this is something for you that you would do, or anything else that represents happiness in the home for you. Now, with the lodestone, you're going to cleanse this lodestone with some whiskey, baptize it, give it a name, something appropriate for the work that you're doing. It will come to you when you're doing the work, even if you're not sure what to call it. And you're going to need some magnetic sand and some conditioned oil that also represents what you need, whether it's peaceful home, you can add some reconciliation, you can add some stay with me, you know, money oil, depending on what you need. Now, under the lodestone, you want to put a picture of your family, a photograph of the people that involved, if it's your close family, you know, maybe you, your partner, your children, can be a bigger family, and these days it's very easy to make big pictures small on the computer. You also want to write a petition stating exactly what you want, and I would recommend to take Psalm 23, and I would take it straight from the Bible, but if you don't feel comfortable with that, just write it out. Write it out. If money is an issue, write it out on a $2 bill. Write it out, put it under that lodestone, and put that whole arrangement on a white plate. Around it, you're going to put some rosemary, you're going to put some balm of Gilead, angelica, basil, rue, vervain, violet, pennyroyal, and sugar. I know it's a lot of stuff, but it's good for all kinds of different things. So you put it on
the
edge.
Okay, now you tell
me,
we'll back up and let's run through that list again, okay?
Okay. So we have rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
We have balm of Gilead.
Mm-hmm.
Angelica. So we angelica
mm-hmm.
chips. Basil.
Mm-hmm.
Rue. Vervain.
Mm-hmm.
Violet.
Mm-hmm.
Pennyroyal.
Mm-hmm.
And sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
okay.
going to go all around that little house on the white plate. And the last thing that you do, you're going to get yourself a candle holder, put it by that little house because on top of it you don't want to burn any candles, and you can set a white candle, pray over it with peaceful home oil, set the intention that you want for your family, and you want to do it once a week on a Sunday. Pray over it, feed your lodestone with oil, feed it with magnetic sand, and keep that either hidden or out, depending on your situation. But this is a reminder for you every time you're going to see it that everything is going to be okay, peace is going to be in your home, and that you deserve success, and everybody around you will be successful as well. And this is a very, very sweet spell. It's an ongoing work. I recommend doing it for a while. But it's really something that's very visual, and it's very easy to focus your intention and energy on that.
This is nice, and I'm going to say a couple other things. Sometimes you can get those birdhouses that the roof lifts off so you can clean the birdhouse. So remember, you're going to fit that plate inside it, right?
No, outside it. So the house
going
on
the plate.
Outside,
okay. I see. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, baby, I would put the plate inside it so that nobody sees it and put it up on a high shelf.
That's another way to do it. Miss Kat,
okay.
I have many years to learn, so here you go.
Well, that's just the way I like to, you know, but the birdhouse with the roof that comes off, you can put a saucer inside. All right. If you need to hide it, that's all we're saying. If you need to hide it. All right. Let's turn it. Thank you so much. That was a really great list of herbs, too. Let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Madam Nadia of www.gotfortune.co for being our special guest this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Woodworkers will be Dr. E of ContraDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And Conjurman Ali at ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from KibbleCronConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour can be here every week live on WatchTalk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the shows are available in archive by LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
good night, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you so much. I want to wish everybody the happy Hanukkah-Thanksgiving combination, which has not happened in 125 years, and who knows when it'll happen again.
That's right.
Otherwise known as Thanksucka. Giving happy Hanukkah. All right. Thank you again, Madam Nadia, and thank you, Congressman Ali. And we'll stick around in the chat room for a few minutes before we close up the shop if you have any further questions. And see y'all next week. All right, good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Good night.